for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of July the 2nd, 1989. Tape number 2 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Blanche Reynolds is the teacher for the morning.
Every Sunday morning, for quite a while now, Mary Dye, who is a professional school teacher, has been all of her life. She retired to come here and teach. She now teaches us kids for a few minutes every Sunday morning. And this week, she will be teaching for a few minutes to the young ones up through 10 or 11, somewhere like that, every morning for a few minutes. We have a couple here that we will introduce later that will be in charge of that group, and somebody else who will be in charge of the other group. And we are going to have, everybody's going to have something to do for the Lord. But Mary, our favorite school teacher here at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, I never have brought her an apple.
Well, you brought me your love, and that's worth an apple.
But she brings us a wonderful lesson.
Praise
every Sunday morning for a little while.
Thank you, Lord.
A practical lesson that we can apply to our everyday life.
Praise God, thank you, Jesus. Lord, how we love you. Hallelujah. I see the love of God shining on your faces. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hello, boys and girls. You love Jesus this morning? God bless all of you. My lesson today is about a little girl. But the main part of my lesson is directed toward you mothers and daddies. I didn't really realize it until I began pursuing the subject. But when I finished it and began going over it, I realized that there was a lot here that we all need to do. My subject for today is entitled The Young Witness. Emily lived with her mother and father in the big white house just at the end of Kane Street. They were happy in their home, but a crime had been committed there. And the prisoner was on trial. For the criminal. And Emily, who was 9 years old, was called to be a witness at that trial. And the counselor at the trial looked at Emily. She's just such a little thing. And he was the counselor for the prisoner. And he said, "Now, Emily, do you know what an oath is?" She said, "Well, I don't know what you mean." Well, that set the counselor thinking. He wanted to get rid of her. And he spoke to the judge, and he said, "Your Honor, I recommend that this witness be rejected. She doesn't understand court language." The judge was an older man. He said, "Well, let us see." He said, "Come here, little one." And assured by the kindness of his voice and his manner, she stepped toward him, looked him right straight in the eye with such a look that it went right to his heart. And he asked her, "Emily, did you ever take an oath?" "No, sir," she said. She didn't understand. She thought he meant, did she ever swear or do something like that? But he said, "No, I didn't mean it that way, Emily." I mean, were you ever a witness? No, sir. I never was in court before. And he handed her a book. And asked her if she knew what it was. Yes, sir, she said. It's the Bible. Did you ever read it? He asked. Yes, sir, every night. Well, can you tell us what the Bible is? Oh, it's the word of the great God. Well, he said, after he understood that she knew what she was doing, place your hand upon this book and listen to what I say. Do you swear that in the evidence you shall give in this case, that you will tell the truth and nothing but the truth? Yes, sir, she said, I do. Now, said the judge, you've been sworn in as a witness. Do you know what'll happen to you if you don't tell the truth? Why, I'll be shut up in the state prison, she said. Anything else? He asked. Yes, sir, I'll never go to heaven, she said. Well, how do you know that, Emily? The child took the book, quickly turned to Leviticus 20:16, and read, Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then she said, I learned that before I could read. The judge continued his questioning. He asked, Has anybody talked to you about being a witness against this man? Yes, sir, she said. My mother told me that they wanted me to be a witness. And last night she called me into her room. And she asked me to repeat the 10 commandments. And when we had done that, we both kneeled down and prayed. We prayed that the Lord might understand how wicked. We prayed that I might understand how wicked it is to bear false witness against your neighbor. And that God would give me strength as a little child to tell the truth before God. And when I came here this morning with my daddy, she kissed me and told me to remember the 9th commandment and that God would hear every word I say. Do you believe that? Asked the judge as a tear rolled down his cheek, his lips a-quivering with emotion. Yes, sir, she said, perfectly understanding what he said. God bless you, my child, said the judge. You have a good mother. Well, I own trials for my life, and I was innocent of the charge. I pray God to send a witness like you to testify for me. Let her be examined, he said. And she told her story with simplicity of a child, but with her voice and manner that carried conviction of her truthfulness to every heart in the courtroom. The lawyers asked her many perplexing questions, but her answer never varied. The truth so spoken by a child was sublime. Falsehoods and perjury had preceded her testimony. But before her testimony, falsehood was scattered like chaff. The little girl, for whom her mother had prayed for strength, to give her strength and power to tell the truth, as it was before God, broke the cunning device of matured villainy all to pieces, like a potter's vessel. The strength of that mother's prayer was given that child that day. The sublime and terrible simplicity of a child's testimony. Terrible to the prisoner and his allies, but it was like a revelation from God himself. Boys and girls, did you hear what that little girl said would happen to her if she didn't tell the truth? Do you think it would happen to you if you don't tell the truth before God? Do you think it would? If you don't tell the truth, I was taught that this was an awful word when I was a child, the word lies. But the Bible tells us if we don't tell the truth, we're liars. And that's what that little girl was taught. Her mother and daddy taught her that. And she said, and the Bible also says that all liars will have their part in the lake fire. That little girl believes that with all of her heart, mind, and soul. And it's good if we believe that. Do you know how you're going to believe that? Do you parents know how they're going to believe that? I do. It stands between you and that child, what they believe, how they act, how they grow up. We've left the first things last. We've tried to attend to everything in the world but our children. We send our children to school and expect the teacher to take care of them. That's not the teacher's business. The teacher's business is to teach. But it's your business to teach them morals and truth and righteousness before God. And until the homes in America go back to that, we are doomed. God bless everyone else.
Mary's a pretty good teacher. In fact, she's a very good one. She's got a little preaching, too.
Praise the Lord.
You know, she thought her ministry was over, but it may never be over. Because we record these on tape every Sunday, and we're sending them around the country to different ones that want them for their children, and even some who want them for themselves. And we're sending them out. We're sending them out every other week. Two tapes. We said we wait until we have two Sundays to send, and then we send them out. There are several here who are receiving the tapes of the Sunday morning service. But we're sending them around, and so Mary's. And the main reason we're sending them is because they want to hear Mary's teaching. And so we're. Count a privilege to send the word of the Lord by Mary across the nation for young people to hear the teachings that the Lord gives her to teach. Amen. She's a blessing, and she's not retired. She's just starting over again. Only this time she's doing it for Jesus. I wouldn't say she didn't always do it for Jesus, but she's really doing it for him this time. So she'll be teaching every morning for a few minutes. Every morning with the young ones here, so be sure and get them in here of the morning so they can be taught. Now Blanche Reynolds is going to come and minister to us the rest of the morning. She will close the service at least I hope by maybe a quarter after 12:30. Before that, if she gets to it, but wherever I'm not going to shut her off before 12:30 if she needs that much time. But thank the Lord for the ministry that the Lord has given her. She used to just sing all the time, but now she still sings. But when she talks and teaches so much, why, it's kind of hard for her voice to be, you know, like it used to be when she used to sing at the full gospel conventions. And she can still raise the roof, though. Amen. Raise the roof, chasing the devil. Come on, Blanche. Bless us with the word of the Lord today.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head and make ourselves ready to hear the word? Hallelujah. Father, we just bow before you this morning, for your word is mighty in the midst of your people. Your word is changing your body, and your image is being seen. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are in control and that you are our source. So, Father, we command every thought into captivity. We pull down every principality and power, every ruler that sets itself up against truth. We command our being to your attention. We lift up our heads, hallelujah, let the gates swing wide, let the knowledge of the Lord be revealed, let the people shout and glorify God, for they have seen His image, His word revealed in the midst of their person. Now, O Lord God, we worship you, for your word is one, Andora Messiah, in the midst of your body. You have come, Lord Jesus, to call out of this earth a bride unto yourself. And we are that privilege. And so this morning we bow in reverence and holiness before you. We command our understanding to be fruitful. Oh, Lord, write your word indelibly upon our heart. Let it be seen in the midst of us, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. What I have to share with you may take a couple or three sessions, but we will go as far as we can this morning. As you know, when I was here, probably the last of last year, the Lord gave a prophecy. And He said in that prophecy that the battle that we had fought last year would never have to be fought again. Well, you know, I got excited. It was exciting to know that from where I had come, hallelujah, I would stand in the fullness of that understanding. And then I realized the other half of what the Lord said. The battles would be greater, more intense. God is moving in this hour. He is calling forth an army that'll not break its ranks. No more 100-pound weaklings, but men. Glorious. A church without spot or wrinkle. A body, many-membered, corporate in stature. Calling out of this earth a people. Grooming them to rule and to reign with Him. Very serious business. God's word is revealed unto him who has ears to hear and eyes to see. Many things are happening that are astounding according to this world system. The power of divination and psychic phenomena everywhere we look. So controlling, filtering in the church, amazing the things that the peoples give themselves to that God has nothing to do with. A psychic realm that is causing the mind to be bruised by the occult. Satan's clever device to bewitch, to beguile, and to control. And it must be exposed. The attitude of life revealed. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, let's look at the book of Revelation, the first chapter. This is the revealing of Jesus. The revealing of Jesus. It occurs to me that we know so little of resurrection authority. The attitude of life that is out of death. The very image, the pattern, so revealed unto us that we would not follow after or turn aside or any other source to inform and control other than the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, His image now. In this revelation of Jesus, His unveiling of the divine mysteries. Now we're going to talk mysteries. He has formed us a kingdom unto us in us. A kingdom, a royal race. Priests to his God and Father to be. The glory and the power and majesty and dominion throughout the ages and forever. And ever, amen and so be. A revelation of resurrection unveiled to the body. John said, I was wrapped in the Spirit, wrapped in His power. I was in the Spirit. The conditions and attitude for the revealing. We must begin to overcome the power of death that rules and controls in our body. We must call out and make that decree known in the name of Jesus that every principality and power, every curse and bloodline bondage must be removed out of our body. Hallelujah. And the only person that you can change is you, beloved. It must be done in the midst of each one of us. Now, yes, we help one another. But until that person you're helping makes up his mind he wants help, you're just beating the air. You may call it out, and when he hits the door, it'll follow him right back and jump right in there. This is serious business. I say it again. We must be what we say we are. Brother Rod touched on it last night. That's been a message rolling in my spirit for months and months. To become what we say we are. We are the image of Jesus Christ. Let that revealing be truly revealed. Let us see Him as He is now. John was wrapped in His power, in the Spirit. And he heard behind him a great voice calling like the calling of a war trumpet now. The war trumpet calls to battle. It's a sound that awakens. Beloved, the trumpet is sounding, and an awakening, a revealing, is right for your understanding to receive. We're not our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this fact to you. It has to be revealed by the Spirit. Now, I'm laying a foundation. Please stay with me. And in Him, we move and dwell and have our being. We are His body in this earth. The revealing of His nature, His personality, His attitude of godliness in each of us. Changing, all of us changing, becoming His glory. Hallelujah. Like Him. Becoming His image. The attitude of His nature. A sound. A revealing. An awakening. Oh Lord God. Be in me all that You want to be. Let there be nothing in me that has to be tested. Pull down every stronghold. I, in agreement with Your word, Lord, I make a declaration that my being shall line up with the word of Almighty God, and there shall be nothing hidden. I shall look with the eyes of understanding to know what You're talking about, Lord. Where I am. And let's get on with this glory of resurrection now. What is this glory of resurrection? It's the power of an endless and an indestructible life. Aha! We're beginning to understand it now. I'm going to be like You, Lord. You have made ready a place for me to fit into Your body. I am there because You decreed, and yet You made this human container to contain Your glory, to become Your dwelling place. The true church the ecclesia, the called out ones now. He said, I'm the first and the last, your Alpha, the beginning, Omega, the last. He said, write promptly what you see in your vision in a book that says it to the seven churches. Now, did it ever make you wonder why God said these particular seven churches? I thought about it. Why in this revelation, the revealing of Jesus, would these particular churches be announced? There was a mixture there. Some good, some bad. Each one, every name a meaning, clues to the overcomer to come into that place, that attitude of divine order, to remove the mixture out of the body, to break the curse that is ripe to disappear in the name of Jesus. The church of Jerusalem was not mentioned here. Jeru means a threshing floor, and Salem means peace, the threshing floor of peace. Yea, Lord, where the work is done. And like the divine mystery, the unveiling, the revealing of more of His person, we look with the eyes of the Holy Spirit and we're saying, Lord, unveil this so that I can see, like the principal of the FBI, when they discuss the difference between the counterfeit and the real, they don't show the man the counterfeit. They so ingrain in him the understanding of the real that immediately when he sees the counterfeit, aha, there it is. And he knows the difference between the precious and the vile. The church must understand the difference between the precious and the vile. The spirit of divination is everywhere. We are seeing the power of psychic phenomena become such a mixture in the church that people are following signs and wonders instead of the signs and wonders following them. A mixture so strong and so powerful, seducing, bewitchments, beguiling, until the mind of man, because he does not know the Word of God, is being made a bushel, a mixture of sickness, disease, trauma, problems, crises, limited prayer, no understanding of intercession. Things being taught in the body that leave a lack, a great gaping hole in spiritual understanding. And beloved, it's time to call it together and know what the Word of God says and stand in that authority that He has spoken. It's not a mystery so hidden that you cannot know the order of that divine nature. He is teaching us that He has come in His tabernacle. And most of the time our mind is so busy with self, we don't give Him a chance to say good morning. Let us be concerned at what we give ourselves to and how our day is timed and how much of it is so bruised by the flesh, the human need, the desire. Beloved, that mixture in each one of us has got to be exposed for what it is. Now, we've come here to camp to deal with this old flesh man. See, no longer can you just say, oh, that's my flesh or that's flesh. Beloved, there's a principle, an attitude living in that flesh that's got to be called out. No longer can you stand and make excuses and say, I've always been that way. It's time to get real before the Lord. We've come to do business. This place has been established to set creation free. It's a kingdom filling station. Hallelujah. You come in, you're full, and you leave, you're full. Hallelujah. But you're not full of the same thing. He's pulling down the strongholds. Hallelujah. And you'll not be whipped and torn and ravaged by that old sly fox, the devil. You call him what he is and you cast him out in the name of Jesus. And the battle is strong. But glory to God, I want you to look at yourself. We're the ones that win. We're the ones that win. We're the ones that it's finished in. We're the ones that live forever. Hallelujah. We are resurrection people, immortal. Hallelujah. Because the word of God has spoken and called unto himself a people, a body, many membered. Hallelujah. To rule and to reign with him. But here the churches of this revelation. God said many things. We must understand that as divination has been a mystery to the natural mind for the most part, beloved, we're going to have to understand the operation of that old python spirit. Now, my first introduction to him was a great battle out in California last year with some people that the Lord sent me to minister to. At one point, it got so bad I had to call Irma to pray because I was just battered to call this spirit out. The pastor had been unfaithful to his wife. The wife had found it out, and she meant she was going to exact everything she could out of him. Every bad thing he'd ever done to her, she called it up daily. It was so bad, they fought in the house while I was there. Didn't matter that I was sitting there, just boy, back and forth. Continually trying to pray and seek the Lord. The man was repentant and he wanted help. And the lady wanted him to get help, but boy, she wanted to whip him every step of the way. And not that he didn't have it coming, you know. But that's not the way you do it. But when divination controls, she was a strong Jezebel woman. She had that nature of control, manipulation, and she meant to get her way. And when they would start, they had three beautiful children. And they flew out whatever door was closest, and they ran as hard as they could so they couldn't hear the hollering. Now, that was what was going on in the home scene. In the church, it was much worse. Things going on, people's lives, so much uncleanness in that body, but we began. We soon got the deacons trained. They helped to become deliverers. We began to work, and it was like from sun up to way past midnight. Every day for 9 days, I was in that heavy battle. And these people here prayed, and some other friends of mine across the nation prayed. And God moved. But a lesson to me. That old python spirit, as strong as he is, like the serpent that he is, the Lord began to lead me to go back and find out his origin. And in that seeking gathering information, I saw how this could take shape. How could this spirit come and be so powerful and so hidden? How could he take control of people's lives and make zombies out of them and then be totally unaware? This is how I saw he worked. He came, and Irma taught me this. He came and he wrapped himself around his victim. He usually comes when you are very young, when things have happened and you have been shamed or disgraced or embarrassed or hurt until you couldn't stand it anymore. Psychologically, your mind says, nobody's going to do this to me again. And that's when he comes. He begins to wrap himself around you. He does in the spirit what happens in the natural. In the natural, he is a constricting serpent, and he holds his victim in a vice until he is powerless to do anything for himself. We see these people all the time. They sit in the church like this. Everybody's praising and worshiping the Lord. Their mouth is glued. That's that old python spirit. Rejection. See? Rejection, hurt, insecurities, bruises that go back to where that spirit had permission But more than that, back in the generation, because over and over, every generation, it compounded as people did not understand their emotions, their attitudes. And over and over again, as children were birthed, each time like the snowball rolling down the mountain, it gains a momentum until you are controlled by that spirit. You think, well, I've always been that way. That spirit of divination goes back to the Greek mythology, when the gods of the earth that were worshipped at that time during the day when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth. But more than that, all the way back to Nimrod, the son of Cush, who was the seer. Beloved, we must learn to recognize the difference from the seer, the false prophet, and the true prophet of God, who speaks as the mouthpiece, the oracle of God. And we must learn to judge the prophecy, the words that are given unto us. And if you don't have the word of God in you to judge it by, beloved, you will believe a lie. And you will spend much time trying to make things happen in your life instead of getting down to business, getting honest with the Lord and dealing with your flesh man in whatever bruise, attitude happens to be surfaced in you at that time. No longer can we coexist with our enemies. He is to be exposed. Now, this is the revealing of Jesus. You and I are the generation where Jesus Christ is filling this earth. Hallelujah. We are the messengers of the millennial. We have been set in this hour to set creation free, to bring this body in. Hallelujah. That it might reveal the pure and the true image of Jesus. Hallelujah. That all the shadows, all the darkness is removed from our life, so that when the world looks for you, all they're going to find is Jesus there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revealing Him in all of your being. Nothing there that has to be tested. Standing in honesty before the Lord. Yeah, Lord, come on in. Show me to me. I command my being to your attention. Let the word of life be revealed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every time I learn something new, and I want to say this to the ministers, every time the Lord reveals a greater message, a higher anointing, we deal with our flesh man. Every time I find a hidden ministry, wherever the Jezebel or the Ahab nature or jealousy or envy, anything in the mixture, like layers and layers and layers, like the process of peeling an onion, everywhere it's revealed, beloved, we must deal with ourselves. We cannot stand before the people with a dirty vessel. You can't stand in the pride of your own flesh or your attitude of anger or hatred or jealousy and expect the pure power of the anointing to be revealed. We must fall on our face and repent before God and deal with this. God has called us. He's put us in this hour. He has equipped us with so much of His pattern, His very image, the revealing of Himself. And that's the plumb line, the measurement. How do you want to know what is the real you? See, the real you is Jesus. You look at the revelation of Jesus, and you see where you fall short. Man, it's time to get the mixture out. It's time to deal with the flesh. It's time to pull down the strongholds. If you lose your temper periodically, then you better deal with that old sly fox, the devil that's causing you to get out of control. Go back and break the curses of those of your generation, man, and command him to be loosed from your body in Jesus' name. Because the battle's getting stronger, but you're equipped to win. And the only reason that if you're not winning, let's get back to the pattern. Let's find out what we haven't understood, and let's deal with our flesh, man. Let's look at these seven churches. The first church was Ephesus. Ephesus means permitted or desirable. I would just recommend that you write this down. In Ephesus, the mixture, see, the Word of God always revealed in a man's name his character, his nature, what he was. the revealing of the bloodline. You remember how he changed Jacob's name and called him Israel. He changed Saul to Paul. See, the man's name, see, like Jacob who took on a new nature, and like Paul, Saul who took on a new nature, that attitude, that man was known. When you said Paul, the people understood this was a new man, a new image, a man of God, a revealing of a nature, a personality. A change had taken place, a name, hallelujah, given to change you. Now, Ephesus, desirable, see, flesh man. Wanting your way. Let it, you know, the things that I want, Lord. Permissiveness, see. Permitting, well, lackadaisical passivity. This is the way that Ephesus nature. Now, in the city of nature, of Ephesus, in this nature, there was a great temple to the goddess Diana. Now, this immense temple was constructed over a swampy ground. Now, you think that's an accident? It was said, and they believed, that the python was evolved out of the slime that was left on the earth in Noah's day. And when they built that temple over that swampy area, that they were wanting that spirit of divination, the controller. As he bound man to his beckoning and kept man from releasing his own personality, the attitude of the blessing of his namesake, see, that divination spirit now in the great control, it says that the god Apollo fought that python in the heavenlies, and he slew him. And when he did, that divination nature entered into Apollo, and Apollo became clairvoyant. And in that revealing, he was greatly blessed, himself blessed, because he thought that he could call the mysteries. He thought that this was a part of the equipment of making him God. And in that python nature that overtook him, he made a commemoration or a celebration to the fact of what had happened. He had slain the python, but they called it the Pythian Games. Apollo was the god of light. He was the god of the sun. He was Nimrod, he reincarnated. He was the god of youth, and he was the god of music. Aha! And in that divination power, on that celebration time, they celebrated it in song, and every man wanting to be something that he wasn't began to imagine. See, it worked in the realm of fantasy, and he began to imagine himself something he wasn't. They began to sing, and out of that came the opera, came the drama, came the theater. See, every man wanting to be something that he wasn't. Music controlling, speaking to the mind. We see Satan using it again in the rock music against our young people and their minds. It's a spirit of divination. It's controlling. What is Satan seeking to do? To produce his image in this earth. If he can change the facts of the attitude of love and pull you into the realm of his seduction, his beguilement, and his bewitchment, he will control the mind. He wants to change the frequency of God's love to hate and selfishness, jealousy, humanism, the fact that there is no true God. Now, he didn't want to stamp out religion because he wants to be worshipped. That's right. He wants to bring so much confusion to your mind that you cannot separate the precious from the vile. That's what this abortion thing is all about. It has a 10-generation curse, damning that person out of the congregation of right. The Lord said that they would be cursed. Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter. They would not be allowed in the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. 400 years. I worked with a little girl the other day. 5 abortions. I said, 5 times 400. God, what can this do? You think that the enemy is playing games? Oh, no. And just because you can sit in a place of passivity, or you think if you're going to leave the enemy alone, he's going to leave you alone, you might as well forget that. Beloved, we're coming out of this of blindness and death and the things that death comprises. You can't live in the power of death and experience the glory of true life. Life that's hid in Christ in God. The glory of resurrection. See, you've died. And your real new life is hid in Christ in God. And Jesus annulled the death, hallelujah, in our behalf. And he's given us power and dominion over it. But our thinking, see, has we tried to view the Word of God with the thinking of death, the carnal mind, the natural mind. We've tried to memorize. And there's a great work going on now, again, to seduce the believers. And it's subliminal message where they're supposed to read the Bible to you while your mind is passive, listening to waves of the ocean roll over. It's a grief in my spirit. I saw it advertised in Charisma magazine. And it bruises the body of Christ, the mind of man, beloved. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. And he'll write it upon your heart. And no other has been equipped to do such a thing. And the natural mind is foolishness compared to the things of God. And to try to equip your carnal mind to know the glory and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the word that is spoken out of the mouth of God, beloved, it's folly to you. It'll only put that divination deceiver in the control on your mind. And you will wonder why you can't pray effectively. Why you don't feel the presence of God. Why you can't intercede. It's because the power of divination, which you gave yourself to unknowingly, is the control. Beloved, every time you enter into Satan's kingdom and you give him 1 inch of your being, he's going to exact from you according to his plan. And he'll not let you escape. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word of life now. Ephesus, a mixture, divination. This goddess Diana, who was she? Why, that's none other than that old wife of Nimrod. Again, that spirit exposing. It was fertility. People came into that temple to have intercourse with the nymphs and the homosexuals that were there, thinking that they could produce a god in their own being. How could the mind of man be so bombarded, beguiled, and bewitched? Because his flesh thought that might be fun. Not knowing the difference between the precious and the vile. That old python evolving up out of that swampy land. That attitude. They called her the warden of Diana. The controller. Same old spirit that was carried off to Rome and accepted by the Catholic Church and its name changed to the Madonna and the baby that she held, Jesus. Oh, you say, could that be? Oh, yes, it is. That's the exact truth. And the people, see, believed a lie. Look at the generations that have come and gone, and every generation always accepting what has happened, see. Not only is it taught in the natural, but it's the emotions inside. We get all teary-eyed. You know, when we believe those things, the enemy rules in that emotion. He wants to control that emotion so that you cannot understand what God intended for you to know. Ephesus, this image has got to get out of the body of Christ. This nature has got to be removed. This mixture spoken. Yes, all of them were on the road in Asia. All of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But much more that God was saying to us. A mystery ready to be revealed to him that's got ears to hear. When you're ready to know, beloved, let me tell you, there's not a devil in hell. There's not a power, a principality, a general, a henchman, a Satan, a demon that can take you from what God has made ready for your understanding to be revealed. So this old compromise, desire, passivity, lack of understanding, flesh control, pleasure, oriented people now. Let's take Apollo called this the Pythian or the Python game. It became so popular, beloved, after people came and they put on costumes and wore masks, and for that time of that celebration, they were something that they were not. Out of that, they made the horse races, games of chance, man betting that he could be a winner, running his chariots and his horses until it became clear that this God would take on another phase of his attitude, the God of sports. They now had these games every 4 years instead of eight. And in the 4 years, they called it the Olympic Games. Heard that before? God of sports? Can't you see men all over the nation glued to that tube? Every business transacted because you're able to talk about your team and find out who that guy's team is. See, that God of sports is the common denominator that people do business in. That's right. Man comes, he's going to sell you something, he wants to know what you're doing, he finds out who your sport is, and then he's that old divination spirit's well-versed, he's going to start talking what you want to hear. And you think, well, this guy's pretty all right. I mean, after all, he's a sportsman. And the first thing you know, you're a mixture with him. I see it everywhere, and I'm not even in the job market anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you see, the Lord is showing us how and what we are. The revealing of Jesus. See, every time you remove the shadows, every time you get the mixture out, every time you pull down, and every time you got a question, beloved, there's an answer for it. Don't you go away and think that you're just going to have to stay this way. God's got an answer. He'll show you how it came, and he'll show you how to get rid of it. And it's all done in the name of Jesus. And that's that new name that you received. But here is this revealing of Jesus. Ephesus. Also in this city of Ephesus, they first began to manufacture portable shrines. I mean, everybody could make his own little silver or gold god and put it in his pocket and just carry it with him. And if he wanted to, he could sit it up on his shelf at home, and when he had time during his busy day, hello and bye. He could minister to it. Divination, controlling the images that would bruise the mind to believe the fantasy of idol worship. Thinking to better himself. Thinking he had come into knowledge. The revealing. Look at our educational system. How it teaches mythology, where education originated. Did you know that every subject that taught has a God behind it? I haven't got that completely studied yet, but the Lord has sent me resources from all across the nation. Miss Rowan back there is one of them. We have talked on the telephone for hours, and the Lord has showed us many things that are revealed, and she is a school teacher, and she's gathered much information, and I thank the Lord for her. She's a vital part. She's a minister of the gospel. And I praise God that our paths have crossed so that we can talk the things that, and understand and teach the people now. This church of Ephesus with its portable shrines carried them out, and they set them up in their homes, and they were controlled by that spirit. Desirable permissiveness. Ephesus. That attitude has got to come out of the church. Remember, Ephesus was a church so called in the end time in the revealing of the body of Jesus. You and I have an attitude of Ephesus that must be removed. Sensational seeking people, running after ministries, following after peoples that we think can do it for us. I mean, that's the bottom line of that. Sensationalism. Wanting to draw a crowd. Churches checking and thinking their prosperity, their blessings of what they're doing by the amount of people that sit in their pews. God is exposing that spirit of Ephesus' nature, the attitude must come out of the body. Now, let's look at the next church. The next church was Smyrna. Smyrna means myrrh or bitterness. We look at these attitudes. If ever I've seen and dealt with a spirit that has great power in the body, it's the spirit of bitterness. Things that have hurt us, the python hurting and bruising and controlling, and now bitterness, resentment. Resentment so strong that they produce hatred, violence, arrogance, vengeance, rage. They ravage your body. Those demon spirits that are coming out of that Smyrna attitude. It's got to be dealt with. Illusions of pagan mysteries found here. Now, this was where the Olympic Games were celebrated, at the foot of Mount Olympus. We look again at what the Lord is saying. That attitude must be removed. Now, as I go on and as the next session, we're going to talk about each one of their attitudes being removed and the good things that were there, so that we can separate what is precious and what is vile and know that those attitudes in us must be removed. Now, the next church was Pergamum. Pergamum means married with the world. If ever you saw the church controlled, it's married with the world. All the social things, all of the pride, it's a power of pride. Married with the world, height, see, I can build myself up. I've got it all together. That Pergamum attitude, married with the world, that attitude in the body. We're going to coexist with our enemies. We're going to have a little of this, and on Sundays and Wednesdays, we're going to have a little of that. Always wanting to mix your man thinking that he can do what he wants and still have what he needs. Beloved, it will not operate now. But let's look more at this Pergamum place. Pergamum came from a Greek word that began like gameo. That means marriage. The next part of it is cosmos, which means word. The first word is peri, or it's pergamos. It's derived from three Greek words, peri, gamo, cosmos. The Pergamos indicates married with the world. Now, there was more than that going on here. This was where the seat of Satan was, the temple of the Asclepius. The Asclepius, the seat of Satan. Hear this now, a mixture, married with the world. Marriage produces a union of coming together. Man thinking that he could have what he wanted and still please God. A union, a perverted union, the seed of Satan, married with the world. And so, Satan's next effort was to join the world and the church. I can remember when men and women came to the altar and they didn't get up until their need was met. Back in the early days, well, I'm telling you how old I am, back in the early days of Pentecost, I can remember that's the way that the church acted. And the church didn't want to look like the world. The church wanted to look like Jesus. They knew they were separate. Some people put names on them, but there was a condition met inside. They belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, glory to God. This has got to get out. See, in this end time, the vision of Jesus, the exposure of Jesus in this earth, his nature, his personality revealed, these attitudes must come out of us. Now, The seed of Satan, let's talk some more about that. The seed of Satan, the temple of the Asclepius, was the temple of the serpent. You see what's happening? The serpent, like the cobra now joins forces with the python. The seed of Satan. You notice that in Egypt, all the pharaohs, when they thought they were God over the people, wore that crown that had that great big spread serpent on it. That made him like the all-knowing. His control. He controlled the mind of his subjects. That Pharaoh nature, out of that church, the seat, the temple of the Asclepius, that attitude was exposed and revealed. But more than that, do you know what this temple was known for? For healing. For healing. For healing sickness and disease from the body of man. And that divination, that power of beguiling, bewitchment, so controlled and so powerful that man beguiled by that authority would actually step in the door of the serpent and give himself to that nature, hoping that his sickness and disease would leave his body. Can't you see why God sent Jesus? Can't you see why he so carefully protected Calvary? Can't you see why perfect blood was trusted in this earth to move the bruise of man's involvement in sin? Can't you see why through the only begotten of the Father that man could be set free from the bondage of sickness and disease, all that evolved in death? What was exposed here was the fullness of the power of death. Satan laying a claim on the life, and that mixture so desired by the person that he couldn't separate the precious from the vile. Now, why is Satan using divination to so control the mind of man? Because he knows when that confusion controls your mind, you're not going to be able to tell what's God and what's the enemy. Now, we must learn the voice of the Lord. How are you going to know him? Because you've been in his presence. How are you going to understand what he is speaking? Because you're accustomed to the sound of his voice. You wouldn't follow after another. You deal with everything he reveals to you. The bottom line of deliverance is making more room in you for Jesus. And in that understanding, beloved, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, revealed in his body, is coming Rashadai again. And after every enemy is put under our foot, we're going to present the kingdom unto the Father. There's a lot of work that's got to be done. You can't stay the same. There's a change that's taking place. Beloved, I'm seeing God do great things in the being of man. The more we deal with the control of the flesh, that old married with the world, the more we kick out that dominance of death. See, that's what it is. You're cohabiting in the death realm. The more we allow death to control, the more we're going to be beguiled and bewitched by the things that it contains. Wanting to be, Bashura, lifted up. Somebody that is exalted. That's an attitude that brings death. Married with the world. Pergamos. Peri. Peri. Gamio. Cosmos. That attitude has got to come out of the body. The sevenfold nature must attitude must be revealed to us now. I know that many preachers have preached this many other ways. Thank you, Lord, for every speck that has been revealed of this seven church understanding. Thank you, Lord, that it fits together with the whole counsel of God. And thank you, Lord, that the revelation of that attitude is in this end time body. And we will deal with the nature, the authority, the name, and we'll call it out in the name of Jesus. No more will we be the bride of death in that realm. But glory to God, He has made a place that you and I might dwell in Him. Separated from the world now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah now. Satan began his Babylon religion. His advocate was at the time of Nimrod. Babylon is more than just a city that was in that day. Babylon is the nature, the harlot, the adulteress, the attitude of total selfishness, promiscuity. That attitude is being the nature of the beast, and we're going to talk about that in the next time that I have the opportunity to share with you. All of this must be spoken, understood in you and in me. We cannot stay in that place of compromise in this day. The battle that is waging, the war that is going on, is to set creation free. Beloved, there's no freedom for you in the power of death now. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm not a note preacher, and look at me. I call Brother Tommy a good concordance preacher, and I decided last night that probably Brother Johnson was too. Now, I'm a chapter preacher, and Brother Bolin is a statistic preacher, and every one of these ministries are needed, see. Every one of us have ways that, you know, the Lord opens the door of our understanding, and it's wonderful. I wish that you know, sometimes, Lord, let me have that command like Brother Tommy that runs all through the Bible in one session. I just, glory to God, it's wonderful. Hallelujah. But see, God's fitting the body together. And you know, where He, His place is, the Lord's called us to different places. But we all fit together, and we all respect and love one another. And those cords of love will never be broken. We are a vital part of the union of the bride of Christ. We belong together. Hallelujah. And there'll be a day when you won't see where I quit and you begin, and you quit and I begin. Hallelujah. Join together in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Every one of us full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Knowing, hallelujah, that God is calling forth the best, His plan, His completeness out of each one of us. Hallelujah. And every time we get the junk out and remove that old death, there's a life that's raising up. Look at the quality of the Son. Revealed in his anointing. Om Yisrael Messiah. Strong and powerful because God's Word has revealed an image, a likeness, the attitude of godliness. Glory to God. And there is no flesh, no look-alike your generation, man. The parenting of the past is done away with. Your new image, your real life is hid in Christ, in God. And nature of death is right to disappear because you are waging war against that old sly fox, the devil. He'll not command. He'll not bruise. And we'll not coexist. We'll not be married with this world, beloved. We're coming out of the power of death, and we're going to live because He lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That old spirit of Satan, the intellect. And look at what Satan used, trying to make him think that he's God himself. No understanding. So telling the human intellect that if you need a higher power than yourself, then that's weak. See, causing man to be so confused, such a mixture of weakness within him, wanting to be all that his sheep and says that he aspired to, and yet a lack in the being, no place for Jesus. And beloved, the only life that you're ever going to live is a life in Jesus Christ, and He is the author and He is the finisher of your faith. And to try to come up any other way is foolishness and folly. The Word of God revealed, because the revealer just calling out of this earth, my true body. Let Jesus Christ arise. Whew, hallelujah. And his enemies be scattered. Let us stand in this final hour now. Let's talk again about dealing with us. Beloved, let me tell you, war has been declared. And the battle is raging. And we are going to stand in authority and dominion because we know the exact. We know the plan. We know what it says. We understand the image. We are there. Hallelujah. We are blessed. And that old Spirit, the Lord opened my understanding just a few weeks ago. And I entered into a realm in the Spirit that I have never stepped into before. And I saw things in the Spirit that just made me cringe. Had not I been protected by the Word of God and the ministering angels, I probably would have just fluttered plumb away because of what I saw there. See, what we, the demons that we're looking at in people, that's nothing compared to the battle that is going to have to be fought in the heavenlies. And the sooner we get the junk out of us, we're equipped for that battle, beloved. It's going to go on, and you're a part of it. Hallelujah. And the quicker we deal with our flesh, man, and pull down the power of death and cast out from us the bloodline bondages and the demon authorities, the quicker we'll see the glory of God fill this earth. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah now. God's laws are your protection. And the quicker we come into obedience to the Word of God, the quicker we're going to understand and know. Hallelujah. It's glorious to run toward truth. It's glorious to be sealed in the power and the anointing of His Word. The Word of God revealed. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm a vital part of your body. That's what you say to yourself. Come on in, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be in me all that you want to be. I hold nothing back, Lord. Let me, Lord Jesus, look. See. Now, and she said, if there had been a time, I'd have been afraid to look at old Blanche. She was such a mess. And if the Lord had showed it to me, I couldn't have stood it. But glory to God, every time you see a fraction or a crisis or a problem in your life, know that the Lord your God has equipped you and made you ready to look at it, to walk through it, moreover, to graduate. Hallelujah. To come out of it and be full of life now. And so we are standing in a place that every generation has longed to look into. That's right. You and I are here not because our mom and daddy's intention. God decreed and He called forth a body and He put breath and life into you and I. And it's going to be like He said. Just like He said. And we're going to know the truth. And we're going to come back to the Thyatira the next time I have the opportunity to share with you. Let's stand to our feet, please. Lord Jesus, the richness of your mighty word, the mysteries unfolding, yea, Lord, deliverers standing in authority, we search our heart, Lord. We search our heart for the revealing, the revelation, the revealing of your image. Yea, Lord, let it be all that you intended it to be. Now let's all say a prayer together. Lord Jesus,
I command
my being,
to your attention.
I bring myself
to the threshing floor of
peace. In other words, I lay down.
I submit
to the Spirit,
the Holy Spirit.
And I command my being
to line up with your word.
For the next few days,
I intend
to be totally honest, to view myself as you see me. Let your eyes of love nurture me, Lord, as I take authority and break every curse that's visited to me. The bloodline bondage. And now, Lord Jesus, I'm yours to command. Come on in, Jesus. Be in me all you want to be. I bless your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. One fifth. The ladies will gather in here to go upstairs, and the men will stay in here for time together. 2:30 afternoon service. Brother Gene or Sister Earlene will be ministering this afternoon. 7:00 tonight, the service tonight. Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared for us. Make it health and strength to us. Thank you for your anointing and your presence that rests over us. And amongst us, Lord, today, we thank you for your word, Lord, to hide it in our hearts, that we sin not against thee, but that we walk before you in righteousness. And we thank you for this food. Make it health and strength to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.